yanked it in from his knees.
So your final score is Marshall County 77, Lyon County 46.
It's the place coming to home. The Racers are going to win. Racers win on that.
Flush now throws it down the field. And complete touchdown, Mayfield.
It's a jaw-jam.
Neil, who are you taking for the big game?
Is it the Swifties?
Oh, I thought you were talking Murray and Callaway. Oh. Let's.
I mean, that is a big game. That is a big game. Ed Marlowe, Neil Bradley, for those who inquired, we're going to get right into it. Holy crap, Neil, you're not wrong. That is a big game. Who can even decide what the fourth district's going to do?
I don't know. It's kind of wide open. You know, the region's open too. But on the Super Bowl, I'm actually this really isn't that hard for me. I'm pulling for the food that day. Mm-hmm. That's who I'm going for. Don't care who's in it. Don't care who is in the game. My biggest issue was last weekend because it's the Swifties. Well, I don't really have anything against Taylor Swift. Right. I don't dislike her
for
any
either.
Reason at all.
Not at all.
I don't dislike the Chiefs. But the constant media bombardment of Taylor is a little much.
It is. And look,
that's what I don't like.
I'm going to actually, let's go ahead. This is a spur of the moment.
It's not her fault.
It's not her fault.
I'm not mad at her.
No.
People like her.
She just wants to watch a football game.
That's all it is.
She loves her boyfriend. Yeah. Her boyfriend happens to be a Hall of Fame tight end.
And she goes and supports him.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. You're right about the media. As a media member, I don't have a problem flashing to it every once in a while. Spike Lee, we flash to him. Jack Nicholson at a Lakers game. These are becoming and have become synonymous with the event you're at. It's fine. Oh, okay. That's, you know, look at Jay Billis, commentator. When he gets an ice cream cone at Rupp Arena, that's a thing now because he loves UK ice cream. You know, the UK game. That's a thing, by the way, Neil. I don't know if you knew that, but I watched the UK Florida game.
It's amazing. I watch UK basketball constantly, as you know, Ed, basically as much as possible.
All the time.
And somehow missed that. I don't understand
how
I did.
Well, I'm here to enlighten you, Neil Bradley, that he loves the ice cream.
I guess maybe on bathroom break or something when it came back.
That's what I'm saying. There are things that are synonymous with the events that you're at. And I have no problem with Taylor Swift being synonymous as long as she's dating Travis Kelce. I think that's fine. But I totally agree with you. People lose their mind, especially the media and the people wrapped around it that are now super angry about it.
Well, it is the media because they keep showing her.
Yeah.
They don't have to. They actually don't ever have to.
There are betting lines on the number of times that you can actually. It's like a drinking game.
Of course.
You could actually put it with me and I digress and her showing up on a screen and you'd be dead by halftime.
All right. So here's my dilemma, though. Okay. If Taylor wins, I got 2 weeks, and it's already started because every time I come onto the computer, my news page, there's always 3 to 4 articles about her and the Super Bowl, at least directly or indirectly.
Yeah.
So I knew I was going to get 2 weeks of that or root for the Ravens, who I despise. What am I supposed to do? I didn't want either of them to win. I wanted them to, like, both get disqualified and then just have one team show up for the Super Bowl and me get food.
Here's my thing. Like, I am absolutely pro Lamar Jackson. I mean, I think Lamar Jackson.
It doesn't matter who plays for them. They're the Ravens.
They are the Ravens.
The former Browns, and I hate them. I want them to lose as much as possible, by as much as possible, and as often as possible.
Yeah.
So how does that tell you how bad the Taylor Swift publicity has tarnished that I even considered maybe rooting for them in that game?
That's a good point. I don't like the Ravens because they're the bitter rival of the Tennessee Titans, and every former Titan that I cared about, Samari Roll and Derek Mason and then Steve McNair, all went to the Tennessee Titans, from the Tennessee Titans eventually to the Ravens, and it broke my heart and soul into 1,000 tiny little pieces, and then it just always seems to be that the Titans – have to play the Ravens in the playoffs.
Right.
And sometimes we win, sometimes we lose, and it's always a knuckle fight, and I don't like them either.
Well, the cool thing,
I don't like them.
The cool thing about it is it happened, Chiefs won, I'm watching like, well, at least, because I flipped the other game off, it was basically is decided, at least I'll have the Lions to root for. And then woke up the next morning, I didn't check in again, and they didn't win either.
Nope.
So
they were up 24-10, and then San Francisco just surge.
And see, I'm just indifferent about either. That's why I'm rooting for the food. I really don't care.
Yeah.
I do have some friends who are Chiefs fans. For their sake, I'd be fine if they won. I'm not going to be heartbroken either way, unless my daughter-in-law doesn't make the queso. That would be the only way.
So let's we're here. We're staying on this topic for a split second. Walk me through what a good queso consists of.
I don't know what's in it. It's some sort of never had it till the last Super Bowl. Basically, it was deer chili. And it's like, there's some queso she made over there with some sort of sausage in it. It's got sausage. It's got real thick cheese, and it has some other secret ingredient. I don't know exactly what. But it's like,
it's crack cocaine.
Why don't you get a few chips before the chili? So I got a little bowl of that.
Why didn't you put the queso in the chili?
Then I got another bowl of that. And by the time the chili was ready to roll, I didn't really want any chili because we'd all stuffed ourselves on the queso and chips.
Was there Rotel in it? Like peppers and onions?
There couldn't have been a lot of that because I wouldn't have eaten it. Okay. No one dumps vegetables in queso. Come on.
Dump vegetables in queso.
Well, okay. No man would dump vegetables in queso. Let
me show you where there are vegetables.
That is your purse there, right?
That is my purse.
That's what I thought.
That's my man purse. All right. full of vegetables. But, as I sit here and drink tea out of a Callaway County Public Library.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Librarians are pretty awesome, Ed. 100%. I just got
to
say that.
You do happen to say you are married to one.
Yes, I am. Coincidentally.
How convenient.
I'm
looking forward to the Super Bowl. I do agree with you from a food perspective. It is absolutely a great time. It's a perfect time for a charcuterie board, which is just an adult Lunchable. I know vegetables aside, you could just do a meat plate, which is essentially a man's charcuterie board.
Yeah.
But I like meat, fruit, cheeses, and mix it all up, even sandwiches. And then certainly like to add it up with some sort of a mixed drink. And I'll probably bet a little bit on the game. I don't necessarily care who wins. I really wanted the Lions to go. I wanted it for Al Willman, my former, co-worker at the Paducah Sun. I wanted it for Detroit, which has not had a professional championship since the Detroit Red Wings. That would have to be the last one. I think.
I don't know when they won it.
When is the last time the Detroit Red Wings, I'm Googling it right now, won the Cup? And it was, it would have been, it's not even telling me that. The internet's even being slow. When's the last time they won the Stanley Cup? Just tell me, AI. You're supposed to tell me right away, full list. Last time they won the Stanley Cup was 2007-2008. So that's how long it's been since they've had a professional championship. Unless somebody questioned me on that one. I think I'm right on that. Yeah, 2008 was the last time they won the Cup. The Tigers haven't won. The Pistons, well, no.
Tigers did win one, but I don't remember the year they won. I don't remember the last year.
Now we're here. The Detroit Tigers last won the World Series in 1984. When did the Pistons last win? Because they were really good with John Phillips and Rip Hamilton and Ben Wallace.
You've heard of the Bob and Tom show? You've heard of that, right?
Oh, yeah.
They had a Detroit Pistons expert on there one time. He had collected memorabilia.
Really?
Yeah. He had, cards and stuff like that. And then he started bringing out stuff. Awesome. He says, look, he said, what all do you have? He goes, well, I've pissed in cups. I've pissed in boots. I've pissed in shoes. He just went on and on and on about all the things he had. And so he was a big collector, obviously, of Detroit Pistons memorabilia.
Nice.
Yeah.
I wasn't prepared
I wasn't either, but he was on their show.
Absolutely myself up for that. The Detroit Pistons lost to the San Antonio Spurs, actually, in the 2004-2005 NBA Finals. But the last time they would have won maybe would have been the Bad Boys, I think, under Isaiah Thomas. Anyway,
we're way down a rabbit hole now. There's a rabbit going like, get out of my hole.
I have absolutely, and this is the one time I'll say it, and I'm marking it down, I have digressed.
You have digressed.
Let us progress. Last time you and I spoke, Neil, in podcast capacity was the right after New Year's Day. We talked about resolutions. We were coming into what we thought the Missouri Valley Conference men's and women's basketball seasons would look like. About a week later, I talked to Colby Schroeder a little bit later, I talked to Colby Schroeder of Marshall County for the Cards Show. That was a huge success in Murray. And in the exact moment that Colby and I got ready to press play for the podcast, Murray State football announced their head coach. And yeah, it's Jody Wright. Mm-hmm. And it's now been a month. And there's developments, there's commitments, there's coaching staffs that still need to be announced. But Murray State football, you and I specifically have got to talk a little bit about Dean Hood's move back to Lexington. Mm-hmm. But you and I have not been able to talk about Jody Wright. And you take a look at his resume, and it is glistening with magnificent potential for what a head coach could possibly be. Maybe just walk me through your initial thoughts now that I'm able to talk to you about it.
Well, once I saw the resume and read through all the places he's been, the people that he's coached under, even played under, where he's been, first of all, to me, the only thing you check out on that before you're giving him the job is, this can't all be true, right? Let's go check all this. And it all is. It is all true. He has just worked under some of the most prolific names in college football.
Nick Saban.
And when he had his introductory press conference, it wasn't really a named, oh, I've worked for this guy. It wasn't anything like that. He thanked all the people he needed to thank.
Right.
But he really had a home run press conference, and I know most people do, but I was really, really happy with what I saw out of him. The thing that really stands out, and I don't know that I've seen anyone do it this much, is how much he smiles all the time. He seems like a happy person, and we've been around those people. That tends to rub off on folks.
Yeah,
you just combine happy with winning, and suddenly you have a winning formula. But I like everything that he said. I think he's an absolute home run hire for this position. I think that you needed a younger guy with a lot of experience who maybe has I didn't even know if, you want a college guy, but someone with pro football experience too, he's got that too. I mean, he's got everything you would want. And I think for players to come play for him, it's going to make them hungry. He's going to have some connections with the NFL. He has connections throughout the country, I'm sure, in that regard. He knows what it takes. He, it's at Jacksonville State, one of the elite FCS programs, so he knows all about FCS football.
And now doing well at FBS.
He doesn't have to. Well, I'm not really sure how FCS works. He knows how it works. They had great teams there.
He gets it.
He knows the conference he's going into. This is not going to be an easy job. You're not going to flip the script in a year, but he's excited about it. He has me really excited about it.
It's fun. I mean, you and I didn't necessarily have tea leaves on this. You are still the voice of the Racers for Murray State football, and Dean Hood under every circumstance succeeded, in my opinion. Leaving that here.
Yes.
I mean, there were a lot of roadblocks in the way.
Sure was.
And I thought he succeeded and did his part to make sure that Murray State was on stable footing heading to the Missouri Valley. That being said, I think you and I talked three or four days. I mean, it was within 72 hours of you and I recording our podcast, dropping that information, and me asking your opinion of, well, who do you think Murray State's next football coach should be? If you had to pick like A, B, C, and D, do you go with somebody that's got, this resume, this resume, these credentials? Mm-hmm. I asked about a Power 5 assistant that was young, and you were like, that makes the most sense. What did they go do? What did Nico go do? What did the football hiring committee go do? They went and hired a Power 5 assistant who's young with a lot of expertise, a lot of knowledge, and a lot of, let's just call it gumption, maybe, mm-hmm. is a good word. I'm not saying Dean Hood didn't have gumption. He was a strong developer of men, a man of strong character, and someone who was going to absolutely fire you up at halftime. But if you're looking, he's moved on. Now you got to replace that. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you replace that with? It's Jody Wright, South Carolina Gamecocks tight end coach. So that's where, and Football Scoop even had announced 2 weeks ago, January the 12th, John Bryce of Football Scoop did mention, and again, I don't want to get too far to put the cart before the cart before the horse. Nah, there's a racer
joke. You got to use all you can with
the racers.
They're all there.
Every horse joke has to be, may the horse be with you, and so on and so forth. But Football Scoop has announced some of the staff members that are expected to be hired. Certainly things can change. We know that this is a fluid hiring cycle. Look what's happening in the NFL right now and the amount of changes going on there. College football is no different. However, it does seem to think, Football Scoop seems to think, that Wright will be hiring Tyler Zielinski as Murray State special teams coordinator. He's a former place kicker at Mercer. He spent the past season as an analyst under noted special teams coach Pete Limbo. He's also worked previously at both Pittsburgh and Texas State. He also has worked at Memphis and South Alabama. Of course, again, this is from Football Scoop. University of Tennessee player Jimmy Ogle, whose career on Rocky Top spanned the end of the Johnny Majors era, will join the Murray State staff as an offensive assistant. That position apparently, allegedly, is to be determined. Apparently, Ogle has prep coaching experience as well as several additional stops, including a lengthy run at Jacksonville State. Okay. So you're kind of looking at, you know, there's two guys that immediately have ties. Jody Wright, Nick Williams, who played collegiately at Alabama for the legendary Nick Saban and launched his coaching career with the Crimson Tide, apparently is going to be coaching Racer wideouts. Williams also had stops at Alabama, Jacksonville State, and also spent time as a quality control coach for the New York Giants, which is exactly where Jody Wright was, hanging out with Saquon Barkley. So clearly, you know, Williams' father, by the way, is former Michigan State head coach and longtime coaching veteran Bobby Williams. Okay. So these are all, you know, once this becomes more clear or legal, I'm sure that there will be more details involved with the rest of the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. That's according to Football Scoop 2 weeks ago. Haven't seen any official announcement from Murray State Athletics, right, but who knows what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that you have to go through HR channels and things like that, state job.
Legalities.
Things of that sort. So, but usually Football Scoop is solid enough
they don't miss
that
much.
I don't feel bad ever reporting what they say because they're that solid.
They're that solid. Football Scoop had Jody Wright
pegged
24 hours before Murray State had they the sure release. Did. So they're good.
Yeah.
They're giving you the salute through the podcast. So they do a really, really good job. That's a cool job, I would think, to have because Football Scoop typically is also, and this is just, you know, just talking about the next 10 years, they do a really good job filling in the calendar. Because they get a hold of the contracts through they're able to get a hold of non-disclosure agreements because of, you know, because of Public Information Act and, you know, and FOIAs. And so they're able to get a hold of, well, who's somebody playing in 2028? Those things matter to crazy fans. And they matter to me because I think it's cool to fill out the rest of your schedule. It's like, well, where do you think you're, what are your bye games this year? Ask Football Scoop. They probably have the laydown on where your D1 games are going to be.
You want to know that and how much you're getting.
Yes.
That's the two things you want to know.
What you got to go ahead and budget, man. That's you got to plan the budget. What's the district facilities plan going to look like?
But for us fans, it doesn't really affect us in any way whatsoever. We're getting $500,000 to play this game. It doesn't really matter directly to us, but indirectly. Here's really the honest thing. When we play our bye game, we want to get more than UT Martin maybe gets for their bye game.
Right.
That's kind of what
you want to gain. Yes. Where you're
no. Yeah. Martin beat us. They got 600,000 for Alabama. We only got the
Those things matter.
Yeah. So that's,
I mean, it's like,
that's what you're looking
they're
at.
They're getting a locker room next year and we're not.
Yeah.
Like that's how that works out. Speaking of donors though, and this is a kind of a spur of the moment question, but I just wanted to ask about it. DSC out of Mayfield just dropped $1 million donation. And I don't want to use that so flippantly. Just dropped $1 million donation. This is a considerable donation to Racer Athletics.
Yes.
It's the second $1 million donation in the last month and a half. I don't want to totally extrapolate on what those things might be because there's a lot of different things that Murray State Athletics could use those for. But some of the things that come to the top of my mind, capital improvements, NIL.
I don't think any of that will go to NIL. I'll be shocked if it does.
I mean,
I think it's going to be capital stuff.
Even a little bit, you think? Yeah. Or could you shift capital? Could you shift those like monies to capital so that you can shift monies to NIL?
I don't think so.
Like a reroute?
Yeah. I don't believe it will.
Well,
I'll be shocked.
Either way, if it's not NIL or if it is NIL, there's nothing wrong with capital improvements because capital improvements are going to want to bring students.
What you can do by getting these donations, then you can go to fan base for the NIL stuff.
Sure, you can.
More often with the way that's set up. And,
yeah.
And to me, that's I don't know. We can conjecture a lot about it. It's going to change a lot probably in the next year and the next year after that with the pending lawsuits and stuff.
No, you're not wrong about
pending
lawsuits.
I don't know where
lawsuits.
It's going to all end up.
Pending lawsuits.
But got to be prepared for it. It's going to affect things.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That brings me to our next point where I want to pivot to Murray State men's and women's basketball. And I want to start out with women's basketball. They played the most recent game against Missouri State. When you and I last talked, They were coming into an incredible stretch, but we knew it was going to get tougher. And it has gotten just a little bit tougher. They've lost three of their last four, two in Iowa, one to Drake, one to Northern Iowa, two cream of the crop teams of the conference, regardless of schedule. Just they're unblemished at home most of the time. And Northern Iowa's healthy. Drake's healthy. You know, Northern Iowa's record was a bit deceiving. They've got everybody back. Grace Buffelli was back. All of these types of things. Kind of turnovers were a problem there. And some tepid shooting. Then there were some turnovers and tepid shooting at Drake. And Drake is really good. You come home, you get a huge win. Huge win against Southern Illinois. A comeback victory. And then you shot well enough to win against Missouri State, but the combined turnovers in that game for both teams was what, 54?
Yeah. And Racers had 28. And I know the score says they defended better, but I think the pace of the game played a lot into that. The defense has to be better. The thing that they have to clamp down on is the number of open look threes other teams are shooting on them. Now, they have had a couple of teams, honestly, that shot the threes a whole lot better than they normally do, Missouri State being one of those. Mm-hmm. Hey, they just went in that day, got to give something up, I get that. But they do have to lock that down some. The offense, it's going to, in terms of the points and shooting percentages, that'll come and go sometimes. Right. That's just part of basketball. But with their style, they still should be able to put up a lot of points every game. The defense does have to improve. And we don't have to tell Rochelle, hey, you can't win with 28 turnovers. You know what? She knows that.
Yeah, yeah.
She knows you can't win with 28. Probably not going to win with 20 either. So you want to at least get that down to where you're creating more than you're committing.
16.
If it's 15, 16, 18, and you're forcing 20, you can still live with that if you're shooting the ball well.
Because you're creating the possessions.
That is correct.
A few numbers, and again, don't always want to bore everybody with analytics, but I find numbers to be riveting and important. And when you look at Missouri Valley play, nine games in, you've got four women averaging 10 points per game or more. That's Caitlin Young, Ava Learn, who is just, I can't sing her praises enough. She's been absolutely terrific off the bench. Haven Ford, who's starting to come into her own now, and just one freshman of the week for the Missouri Valley. She's awfully good. We'll get into her numbers in just a bit. Bradley Pena is averaging more than 10 points per game. Hannah McKay is almost at 10, and Zoe Stewart is almost at 9. So, you have four women that are averaging more than 10, one that is painfully close at 9.9, and Zoe Stewart, who just isn't shooting the three well, but everything else has kind of fallen in for her. Twos are okay, pretty solid. Probably want to see that, tick up just a little bit. And she's only taken 17 free throws, so she's 11 for 17 there at 65%. So you kind of – those are coming. That's only going to ramp up. But you talk about the defense. When you have this much ball movement, Murray State through nine games actually is leading. They're plus 2.9 in the turnover margin. It just happens to be these last three or four games where – kind of the physicality of UNI and Drake and the physicality of Missouri State has affected the team just a little bit.
And I think they're running up against more size in those teams.
Especially on the wing.
Trying to make some passes that they're used to making and they can't make it against the size.
Right.
They'll have to adjust to that. I think they will. I'm confident in the coach. Still love the team. Love watching them play. Occasionally, you're going to run into a team that has a better night than you do.
Air blast.
And that happens. I'm looking forward to it. Big challenge coming up. Belmont tied for first with Drake in Nashville. Really good team. They have maybe one of the best young players in the league, in the Chessman girl. She is just amazing. And they're the best, at least on paper, the best defensive team in the league. So you got the best defensive team in the league, best offensive team in the league, head-to-head, at the Curb Event Center.
Yeah, something has to give. And just a few other numbers. I mean, you mentioned the three-point shooting. Teams in conference are 72 for 198 from three, 36%. Not super. Not horrible. Not something you can't change, but that's not super great. You're also, assist-to-turnover ratio is currently in the negative for the team. 145 assists in nine games, 152 turnovers. You've forced 178, so there's where your positive trend is from creating more possessions. You're also outscoring teams by almost plus 12 in conference play, despite this 3-4 losing streak. 85.1 points per game and 73.3 points per game defensively. So you're certainly, teams are only shooting 42% against you. So it's, you're getting it done. But again, take a look at these three losses. Drake, you lost 107-98. That was just an epic barn burner, which is to be expected at Drake. 95-75 against UNI, which is where I was, you know, you and I talked about turnovers and just poor shooting in the second half. And then Missouri State, you know, that was just a nip and tuck game that never got out of reach until it was just like time to foul. And then you just, you couldn't make a shot or two late to keep it close. One other thing I want to quickly mention just about women's basketball, and I know tickets are free for Murray State women's basketball, but look at the attendance numbers.
It's been fantastic.
It's been absolutely stellar. So all the home games at Murray State, 2,600 plus for Valparaiso, 1,300 plus for Bradley, 1,600 plus for Illinois State, 1,900 plus for Southern Illinois, and 2,100 plus for Missouri State. Again, I know tickets are free. Huge kudos to CFSB for that. And I think that's absolutely just a phenomenal measure. But free tickets or not, people are showing up. You still have to make that decision. And I know free tickets makes it a little bit easier. But when you're having 2,000 people show up to a women's basketball game, for this team especially, I think it's really cool.
It's a terrific product. And you have the improvement in attendance. And I don't remember who – sometime the last 3 or 4 weeks, I remember seeing one of those really fantastic crowds at a game, was talking with someone sitting there beside me. And said, I remember sometimes we'd release attendance figures for some of the women's alone games at like 300 people, and we're like, okay.
And that was for
it was for everybody.
And I'm not going to attack.
Those
were for teams that were decent.
Yeah, and they were being honest about it. I mean, they weren't fudging the stats.
Right.
And now, I mean, the crowds have been just amazing. And I know Rochelle, she had some reservation. Well, man, we're going to be playing some of the Friday night games. What about when we play on Sunday? Will people even come out? Yeah, they do.
Yeah, they will.
Got a great product is why. Yeah. Great product. And Rochelle also, she's done a really terrific job in recruiting most of the best players in the area and keeping them close to home. And their friends and families want to see them play too.
Yeah.
That helps a lot whenever you do that. The kids from Tennessee and Kentucky and those areas, even Indiana, who, hey, we can make the drive and watch our daughter, watch our granddaughter, watch niece, nephew, brother, sister, all come and see them play.
I want to very quickly go back. Just a little bit of slightly breaking news just been brought to my attention. Amari Martin of Murray High School has committed to Murray State football. And Jody Wright, cornerback, offensive, Jesus, I can't even read. I'm washed up. Cornerback and outside linebacker, 6'1", 200 pounds, 40-yard dash is sub 4'7", 31-inch vertical, 205 bench, 365 squat, and 195 clean. Thank you, Huddle, for the statistics. But also, thank you, KHSAA, for your statistics. He had 3 sacks last year for the Murray Tigers, who won some nice games last year, and he had more than 40 tackles. So certainly a nice little local addition for Murray State football, and nothing wrong with getting off on the right foot in your own hometown. So Jody Wright immediately getting a commitment today as we record this at 10:49 p.m. on February the 1st. If we record this same podcast tomorrow, Neil, it would actually feel like the real Groundhog Day.
It would?
Word for word. You think if I were to type the script up, would you read the same podcast again and it'd be Groundhog Day?
I don't think it would.
Will Punxsutawney Phil see a shadow, and will we have 6 more weeks of winter? I want you to – what do you think the line is on that?
I mean
the betting line.
The actual winner? the season or Edgar winner?
Edgar. Nice. I don't know. What a reference.
I'm not sure what the betting line is, but – probably is one. Who knows? I know that's fun for them. It's a big tourist thing. I don't really care. I like the movie, though.
Well, it's been one of my favorite movies.
It
is a good movie.
It's a good one.
Bill Murray is terrific. I find the colloquial nature of it pretty awesome, that they like all get into it. But outside of that, I think it's a little – like my mom was born on Groundhog's Day. Her birthday is February the 2nd, okay. So she's always been the family groundhog. So we always call her and ask her, are we getting 6 more weeks of winter? I will say, while I like the colder weather, I truly do. I love the fall and winter months. This winter has been atrocious already.
Not
from a snow perspective, from the bitter cold stretch that we had.
It was a week.
It was 14 days.
Suck it up.
Oh, wow.
Come on.
Bro.
It wasn't that bad.
I mean, I enjoy it, but that's a when you can't feel it's your nostrils. All right. I forget that you've been in the tundra of Alaska and South Dakota.
Yes.
Did I see this correctly that Dave Winder had to go be Kenny because Kenny wouldn't go to Chicago with Jeff Bidwell? Did I see that?
That's what was out there, yes. That's not technically 100% accurate that he doesn't go on trips because it's cold.
I love it.
It's not in his contract. It's just that Kenny doesn't want to go on trips when it's cold. That's true. That's 100% true.
That's funny. We got to get Kenny on the podcast. So
what you can do is basically you get your weather app out and see, and if it's going to be anywhere below 25 where the racers are going, Kenny's not going to be there for that one.
Yeah.
And it'll be Dave's filling in. That's the way it goes.
To be fair,
he has a meeting, you know, let me use the air quotes here.
Meeting.
Big meeting with a big client.
Whoa.
That I can't miss. So those things. And then one time.
He's not even here to defend himself. Sorry,
this was
Kenny.
When we were really bad for a stretch. Turned out we went to the NCAA tournament, that was our CIT year, I think, when we started out really stinking bad and then went on a 25-game winning streak.
Yeah,
but
started 2-4.
Yeah, his youngster played for Murray High, and I think he turned an ankle and couldn't come to those games in Nashville that we did, you know, where they lost to Drake and they lost to somebody else.
They got blown away by Valparaiso.
Valparaiso, yeah, we lost. Yeah, that's it. Valparaiso.
Lost by 40.
And somebody else, I don't know. And then the third game we were able to, maybe, I don't know who it was. Maybe it was Drake we beat. I don't know who we beat. Beat somebody and at least got out of there with a win and didn't know at the time that was the first of 25 straight victories for the racers, but that wasn't anything to do with cold. I give Kenny a hard time. Kenny is he's fantastic and adds so much to the broadcast with his knowledge just across so many areas as a coach, administrator, recruiter. A lot of great stories to tell, and the network's a lot better with him. If we'd played in the Atlantic Sun, we're doing all the games in Florida, Kenny would never miss a game. But since we're in the Valley, he's going to miss one here or there.
So we'll get to some more men's basketball in just a minute, but let's go back to this. You played Freed Hardman in the exhibition game. That was Houston home opener. Yeah. Lost 77-74. I remember that game vividly because TJ Sapp, I believe, had a three to tie it to send it to OT.
Yeah.
Just missed. That was Kelvin Sampson's first game
as
Houston's men's basketball coach, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's right, because you got Houston come. He had just come back into coaching after everything that had happened in Indiana. You beat Middle. You beat the piss out of Middle at Middle in the Murphy Center, 68-49. Then you beat Brescia, and then you lost at Xavier, 89-62, at the Cintas Center in Cincinnati. You lost by three to Portland
Muni,
which wasn't great, and then you got absolutely dog walked by Valparaiso 93-58, and that was the come to Jesus moment.
Yeah,
because you're exactly right, Neil. You beat Drake 68-59 to move to 3-4, and that was the beginning of the stretch that none of us will ever forget.
There you go.
And then you beat Moorhead, and then you just, well, you know what? We're just not. You got the heartbreak against Belmont, the heartbreak against Old Dominion, and oh, God.
But yeah, that was it. Kenny couldn't make it to, and you know. Now that I think about it, he's smarter than I thought because it was at Miserable Auditorium. So anyone not...
You don't like Muni? The puny Muni?
No.
Oh, you don't like the sticky floors?
No, I don't.
And the roller dome atmosphere?
I do not like any of it.
The no internet?
Yeah.
I love the nostalgia of the place, and I'm sure it's a great place for a concert acoustically. But it is absolutely where basketballs go to die. You can't shoot. There's no depth perception.
It's just not good for that. And now, bless the OVC, they have seen the error of those ways, moved it to about as fantastic a facility as they could ever have.
I love the Ford Center. I hope it's there forever.
I actually do miss going there.
I miss going to
Evansville. I really do. I love that facility.
I know Arch Madness
is fantastic.
Special.
It's fantastic, too.
I didn't get to go to Arch Madness last year. We'll see if I get to go this year. It's going to depend on work. I'm a very busy man, just like everybody else. But you know, it's one of those situations where I know Arch Madness is special. I want to embrace that at some point, but I love the Ford Center. I love the tournament atmosphere there. I don't care if it looks like the stands are empty. Bring 150 people down low onto the floor, and it is hell-raising, hair-raising good time.
I was there the one time that I remember there, the stands weren't really that empty, Ed.
Well, right, but I'm just saying in general, even for like lower OVC games.
I got you.
Those first play-in games, the 7 versus 10 or the, you know, the low seeds, I don't care. The atmosphere, you can hear the at that point, you can hear the players and the coaches dog cussing each other. And I love it. Just like, let's go. It is a dog fight, and it should be for an OVC title. And that's what I like about the Ford Center, though, especially when you get to the semifinal and the championship games. Perfect venues. ESPN has bought in on it, and it's the first ticket. They can push that forever. Mm-hmm. They will always be the first ticket punch to the tournament, and I love that. Trust me, we weren't delaying this intentionally, but it's come to our attention that it's time to talk about Murray State men's basketball. Okay. Actual, like, how this season is going. And you're 8-14. You're 5-6 in the Missouri Valley. And if you would look statistically, you'd think, okay, it's the record's not great. But if you looked at numbers just straight up, you'd be like, okay, there's some things that are kind of working here. There's some things that are going right. But the last two losses just don't need a lot of explanation. They happened. You look at a box score and you're like, oh, like before you look at the play-by-play, you're like, oh, two close losses. You know,
that's what it looks like on paper.
On paper, you got nipped by SIU.
You got nipped by
Illinois State. Yeah, they both of those teams pretty solid. Illinois State was supposed to be better this year, actually, and it does kind of look like they had a big win against Evans. They're kind of starting to kind of figure some things out under, you know, year two of Ryan Peden. And you're just like, okay, you know, Murray State's 5-6, 8-14, tough non-conference schedule, top 200 in the net, you know, in KenPom. You're okay, and they'll figure some stuff out. But then you look at, like, you had a 20-point lead against SIU with less than 10 to play, and you had a 15-point lead with less than 11 to play against the Redbirds. Both of these games are at home. And you lose them in just such heartbreaking fashion, and you just kind of start to think, like, well, what's the culprit? Like, what's the actual reasoning for those types of things? I mean,
poor rebounding has played, to me, about as big a role as you can imagine.
On the entire season.
It's a one shot and done.
Entire season.
The game before this one, one offensive rebound. Is it, what, 24 missed shots, something like that? One. Yeah.
SIU closed the game on a 25-3 run.
And you'd figure you'd accidentally get more than one, even by accident.
Just by standing there, this ball bounced
right to me.
Yep.
But one. That played a role, and it's like anything else. Once a team starts building momentum and scoring buckets, then you have pressure, especially when you're at home, to make something positive happen. That can lead to other errors. So some key turnovers, going cold at the wrong time, but the poor rebounding has played a big role. And I think not having enough size inside, some of that due to injury with Malik out hurt, he would certainly make that better.
Yep.
But so that's playing a role. But then inconsistency with some of your key players. They'll have a good game, then they're not so good. Or they'll have a great half, and then nothing in the second half. That's not how you win big games in good conferences. And in the Missouri Valley, you leave an opening, someone's going to kick the door down on you. And that's what happened twice in a row.
Look what's happened in the last – and this has been brought to my attention that Murray State is not the only victim
Ask Belmont.
Ask SIU.
We're up 19.
It just happened to SIU. Whoops.
Yeah.
With Missouri State. Yeah. Dana Ford like the Undertaker. Like Murray State pummeled Missouri State at Missouri State. And Murray State had won four of their first five. Yeah. And now they've lost five of their last six.
It looked like they were going to maybe fire Dana Ford that week. I thought
that day
he might not make it through the end of the week. They'll probably fire him. Mm-hmm. Way it's looking. Didn't athletic director come out with some statement
after the game?
Like, he's probably not going to be around the end of the week. And suddenly, look at them. Go to SIU, win. Go to Murray State, win. That's basketball.
That's the league. That's this league, man. This league. Now, the thing here's, again, if I'm just squarely looking at paper, I'm not looking at anybody in the eyeballs. I'm not looking Steve Prohm in the eyeballs or the players. I'm not questioning any heart or attitude or mentality or anything like that. If I'm looking at the paper, I'm still looking at a squad that's fighting. You look at the losses.
Oh, they are.
They're all by 10 points or less.
They, yeah.
Every one of them. I was at the Indiana State game because I wanted to see Robbie Avila because he's baby Nikola Jokic. He's awesome. They are so flipping good, man. I wanted to use an inappropriate word right there for the flipping. They're that good. They are that good. Drake is that good. And dare I say it, Bradley, after their December mini slump in the Missouri Valley, they're that good. They're one of the hottest teams in college basketball right now, statistically, by all metrics. So you take a look. Could this be a three-bid league? I don't know. Probably hoping for too much there. Two, totally possible, I think, when you have Drake and Indiana State sub-50 in KenPom and sub-60 in net, if I'm not mistaken. But you take a look at the losses. At Illinois State, you lost by 4. You and I at home, you lost by 10, couldn't make a basket. And you had the lead there, too. Mm-hmm. You had the lead there at the under 8. Indiana State, you lost by 9, and you had the lead against them midway through the second half. You lost by 8 at Bradley, which Bradley's unbeatable at home, and you were neck and neck there, and then these two tough losses at home. You win these two at home, and you're 7-4 in conference play. You and I aren't even having this conversation. Even if they are sub-500, you're 7-4 in the Valley with 9 games to go.
I think at this point, and it's I don't know who said it, but it really fits. At this point of the year, you are what your record says you are. And the record says this isn't a good basketball team, and the record says this isn't a bad basketball team. It's kind of a medium basketball team.
Yeah.
They can probably beat about anybody, and they can probably lose to anybody. And here's the scary part. One of the big wins that I had circled, Valparaiso, that's not looking like an easy win anymore. They're playing a bunch of freshmen, and they're winning games, and they play Drake really tough.
They're
kind of scary right now.
They're playing a former racer, too.
He's not even starting anymore, though.
Right.
He's off the bench right now, yet he still got 30 minutes last time out. Even though he didn't really score much, he contributes a lot in many other different ways.
Yeah, talking about Jackson Edwards there, and again, I'm not going to belabor the point. You know, kids are going to go where kids want to go. That's right. The point. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the world we live in now. You and I are going to podcast that until our final podcasting breath.
Well, if he was here with those stats, we would have the same record.
Yeah.
It wouldn't make any difference.
Yeah, it wouldn't change.
If Braxton Stacker was here with his same stats, the record would be exactly the same.
Yeah, it would be. It wouldn't be a lot of difference here. Here's what's crazy. We talked about this with the women and who's playing well for them. Caitlin Young and Ava Learn, top two scorers right now.
Did we not mention her 2,000 points?
Well, go ahead and mention it.
We got to say it.
Yeah.
How did we miss that?
Well, she's going to the rafters. That's why. We're going to have plenty of time to talk about her because she's going to go in the hall.
Well, all right. Well, since we're going to have plenty of time to talk later, we'll forget about it now.
No, I'm not even trying to be rude. You're right. 2,000 points. And then
Hannah got 1,000.
Hannah got 1,000.
It's 1,000. Yeah.
No, I'm just worried about
it. You know, it's an awesome accomplishment, too.
But no, you're not. I mean, Caitlin is going to the rafters. Here's the crazy thing. Let's back the truck up just a scotch here. Let's do bring the cart back in front of the horse. The Hannah McKay discussion, you know, it seems more and more realistically that she's probably playing her last year. Is there any indication at all if Caitlin is going to play her last year here?
I think she's going to play another year.
I
really believe so.
Yeah. I think all signs point to that being a real possibility, which I don't want to count – you know, the sheep before they're in the...
But she's the one that has to say it.
She is.
Yeah, it's up to her.
And I mean...
I don't think she's going to have to go twist Rochelle's arm.
Yeah. Coach, I'm thinking about playing again. What do you think? Rochelle, can we have a moment? I need to talk to you. But listen, I've been really thinking about this, and I just want you to talk.
Yeah,
talk me through this. What do you think about me playing, suiting up next year? I'm thinking about 3,000. 3,000 points sounds really good. And, you know, another 20 win season and a run at an MVC title. What are your thoughts on that?
To me, this says it all. When she was at the preseason press conference they had in the summer or whenever the heck it was, and was on with the two, you can go back and listen to it. It's archived. And they asked her, one of them asked her, said, well, it's Caitlin's senior year. And she said, well, she actually has this year and still has her COVID year. So she's going to be playing another year. Like, oh, my gosh, we didn't know that, and on and on. So it says, so what have you been doing or going to do this summer? It says, I'm going to see if I can figure out how to get her yet another year. So
a sixth year.
And they love that. That's so funny. It's like
that's good.
And There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
If she calls and goes, is there any way I could get her maybe another year? But that might be too much for her. Kate may want to get on with, she's wanting to go into, I think, athletics administration and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, and you can never, I'm never going to, one, three right. things that can happen there in this situation. Number one, if you get 4 years to university, if you grad transfer somewhere else, I'm not yeah. ever going to take anything.
I don't, she, I don't see her doing that.
She, I'm just saying if that were even on the table, I'm yeah. never going to look at some. KJ Williams grad transferring. One, he can't play another year at Murray State. But two, grad transferring to LSU I thought was awesome. You know, I mean, he gave his 4 years to Murray.
Yeah,
he wants to go get another experience.
Yeah.
That's another thing. You can absolutely go and get into their workforce. That's, there's nothing wrong with that at all. I think that's absolutely admirable. But you're right about the arm twisting. Now, it's not going to have to be a long conversation.
No.
Oh, Caitlin's coming in at 2?
Yeah.
This conversation will be over at 2:03.
That's right.
So, yeah. But going back to the men, nice sidetrack there. Quincy Anderson is playing absolutely out of his freaking mind.
Having a good season.
And especially in Valley play. He's averaging 13.5 points per game, which is leading the team in 11 games. 9 starts, by the way. He also has taken the second most shots in conference play, and you can see why. He's shooting 53%, 55 of 103 after 11 games, shooting 41% from 3, 73% from the line, 5 rebounds, more than 5 rebounds, assist to turnover ratio. He's kind of playing that combo guard role, so he's not really passing the ball as much. He's also not turning the basketball over. He's 14 turnovers in 11 games in conference play. That's just over 1. 10 steals. I don't know. You know, Jacoby Woods averaging almost 13 points per game, shooting the three really well at 46%. Rob Perry is shooting, you know, okay at 42%. 29% from three. Hasn't gotten hot there from yet. And then,
that's the finger crossed there. Maybe he can hit that stride and start getting hot down the
right.
stretch. If so, another gear for this.
And the thing about it, and Nick Ellington. I mean, Nick Ellington's averaging 10, 6, and 1.
He's exceeded all of my expectations.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have a lot of help in the block.
That's true.
And you take a look at some of the guys, and I'm not going to out anybody here for opportunities, but if you're listening about the NIL situation, I'm not going to accuse anybody of anything at any time, but as fledgling as NIL is right now for certain programs, especially Murray State University and its athletic department, some of the guys that this staff was after this past offseason, they're eyeballing the talent.
Yeah, yeah.
Just mm-hmm. not landing it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not excusing anybody or anything at any time. I'm not absolving anyone of X's and O's issues and, you know, frustration in the offense and defense not, you know, being where it should and the rebounding effort and all that sort of stuff and this and that. There are a lot of fingers that can get pointed when losing is happening. We all know this.
Yeah.
You've seen it in your 35 years as a broadcaster. I've seen it as 10 years as a pretend sports reporter. I totally understand where all the fingers can get crossed. But one of the fingers can absolutely get crossed. It NIL was not enough for Murray State athletics in the offseason for football and for basketball. And that's tough when you've got a couple of guys that you know want to be here, but they're going to take a better opportunity, and they'd be stupid not to, to join another team for more money and more opportunity. And I think NIL is important. I think it absolutely gives value to the player. I think it helps families with the cost of college education. But when the reality is you're not offering as much as someone else, you're going to take a job somewhere that pays more. That's the hard knock life of it. And until Murray State fans and alumni and donors understand that, I don't mind saying it out loud. It's tough to compete with the price tag, particularly for big men. And we know now more than we did 2, 3 months ago, 18 months ago, when Murray State first joined the Valley, Neil. Big men win the league. This isn't the OVC where guards and wings win it. Big men. Big men win the Missouri Valley, and that makes a big difference.
Definitely need to have some of them, that's for sure, and have some depth at those situations.
Plethora.
In those areas. you just take a look at all the teams at the top.
Yep.
They have, I'm not saying a dominant big man, but they have a big man that is a force in usually multiple categories.
He's impactful.
Yes. From Brody, who had, 19 points, 18 rebounds last time out. That's a pretty good night.
Pretty good.
Avila, basically a guy can score, he can rebound, he can shoot a three, does a lot of things.
Almost 5 assists a game.
And if you walked into a gym, didn't know anything about basketball, lined 20 guys up, he might be the last one you took, especially if he had the goggles on. You go, this kid can't play, obviously. And like, whoa.
Oh, no, the goggles are a superpower.
But, well, that's what makes it better. Oh, it actually makes it better. It looks like I'm going to step in the phone booth and change into my basketball player uniform and dazzle you. But he's fun to watch. He and players like him, it really makes the league fun. It's treasures to have them come in to the CFSB Center. You can watch those players. And so far, I haven't had enough wins, but who knows? Maybe they can change that. But going into Northern Iowa, I was there last year with the team. That is a tough place to win.
Yep.
It really is.
One of the things I wanted to bring up, and you and I were talking about it pre-podcast, and again, I'm not trying to disparage a single soul, and it's something kind of you and I were analyzing, but you take a look at the top 25 to 30 players in the Missouri Valley this year. I think right now, a Murray State Racer in that top 30 would have to be Quincy Anderson. And I don't know if anybody else is in the top 30.
Yeah, that's in the past.
At least right now.
Yeah, OVC, you generally would have one of the top five players, if not two of the top five, sometimes three of the top five. But more often than not, two of the top 10, three of the top 10 in the league, which means if you released everybody and then couldn't draft your own players, then how soon would Racers be drafted? Pretty quickly. Right now, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure how quickly that would be. And it doesn't speak as much to them as it does the really amazing talent. You know, you get Bradley, Drake, SIU, Xavier Johnson. I mean, there's at least you could fill up the first round pretty quick, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, Quincy has we have some guys that possibly could end up on that list. But as of right now, if you drafted right now based on the stats, I'm not sure who would go in the top 12 for sure.
And I know no loss is beloved. No one enjoys a loss. No one. And I mean, the last two losses just feel the way that they feel because of what happened.
I know. Yeah.
You look at the total number of points. If you just are looking at a box score, you're looking at less than 30 points over the 6 losses in conference play.
That's what hurts. I mean, if we stunk bad, then it's like, okay, we're just horrible. But we're not. They're not bad.
It's painful. You're painfully getting edged in these games.
That's exactly
it. It's death by paper. Hurts. It's death by paper cut.
It hurts worse. It really does.
It hurts worse. Like, if you were losing by 40, you'd be like, man, this is it.
Well, we're horrible.
Yeah.
And we know it. Yeah, right. Let's just go and get this over with and maybe get better players next year. But this isn't a horrible team. They need more consistently. Got to rebound better, though. You can't get out. Can't have one offensive rebound. You can't get out rebounded by 16, 17 a game and expect to win many.
I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, statistically in conference play, you're getting out rebounded minus 2. It's 33 to 31. That's average, by the way. Yeah. So that's a lot.
Yeah.
And then teams have snagged 96 offensive rebounds in 11 games. It's almost 9 a game. Not solid.
And that's a lot of second chance points.
They're crashing. It's not like they're getting the offensive rebound and you're holding teams to, you know, because teams are shooting. Here's the other thing that's tough about that. Teams are shooting almost 36% from three, and they've taken 267 of them. So that's 51 more than the Racers in these first 9 games. Teams know, crash the glass, kick it back out for three, because you're likely going to get a clean look.
Yeah.
At a shot.
Because you have people crashing the glass on that end.
And you're attacking the offensive glass, and you're getting those open looks from three, and that is painful. All of this being said, though, Murray State has actually outscored opponents in conference play an average 70-66. So that's how marginally thin the conference is this year, just for at least from the Racer perspective.
Yeah.
And you've already played – you have not played Drake yet. That's coming. But you've already played the two perceived best teams right now. And you and I, dangerously enough, could get nasty in Arch Madness. That's just the way that works. Because it's Arch Madness. But you have, you know, Indiana State and Bradley are perceived two of the top three teams. And you played them painfully close all, you know, the three times you've played them so far. So it's just, like I said, it's that death by paper cut. I'll belabor it no further. But, yeah, I mean, I know it's been a tough month for Murray State basketball. And, you know, it's still still 9 games to go.
There is, but that could go one of two ways. They can rally and make a really good run here at the end.
6-3, 72, 9-0, crazily enough.
There's also a chance you could see a 20-loss season here if they don't.
That's just math.
Get it corrected. I mean, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, if you go 3-6 in the last 9 games, that's 11-20.
So it's important. Fans, stay behind them. This is your team. They're working hard. They play hard. The thing, even in the two grueling losses, I didn't see a team that laid down, wasn't giving effort. They just got outplayed.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
In 10-minute stretches.
That was it.
Yeah.
I didn't see, they just quit. They didn't do that. They didn't still try and still busting it, trying to make shots. You know, they had layups that they didn't get to go in.
That's the thing, too.
Occasional free throw that wouldn't go in.
2-point shots at the rim have been painfully.
I know.
Painfully sticking to the rim.
And those don't show up too much till you start losing games like this.
Yep.
Then they show up.
When you're losing these single and two possession games, when you had big leads,
you're
just like, man, if another layup would have gone in, we're not having this conversation. And so
fans, stay behind them. Come out and support them. I doubt you can make the trip to Northern Iowa. I know I certainly can't, but when they come back home, be there in the stands.
Yeah, absolutely. A few last things that I'd like to close out with before we get into, say hello to Groundhog Day. John Morant is going to be starting an AAU basketball team. Did you see that?
All I heard was John Morant's going to be starting. I went, what?
Oh, yeah. That's why I needed to finish that.
Yes, I'm glad you finished it. No, I did not see that he was.
I'm just going to go ahead and break the news to you. So apparently he has quietly revealed that that's going to be a strong thing that he's focusing on over the summer.
Okay.
What's the name of the team? It's 12 Time.
Okay.
That's 12. I think that's just a great name for a basketball team. John Morant's AAU team will be 12 Time. I think that's absolutely fantastic. Meanwhile, Cameron Payne's still playing pretty well for the Milwaukee Bucks, but there are some tepid rumors that have been released. We are close to the trading deadline for the NBA. Speaking of, I'm painfully have to admit that Steven Adams has been traded for Victor Oladipo and 3 second-round draft picks from the Houston Rockets. That happened earlier today, and I am not pleased about that. I really wanted to see the Kiwi with this team next year. He, of course, is recovering from major surgery and was set to start probably the 2024-25 season fully healthy and ready to go. And Memphis Brass officially moved him today just because it looked like they were probably going to have to pay him anywhere between $16 to $20 million next year. And they've got some other guys developing and coming up. It's looking like that the Grizzlies might have a decent lottery pick, might still make the playoffs, playing well enough and inspired enough. But with Bain hurt and Ja out and Derrick Rose hurt and Luke Kennard hurt, and at one point 2 weeks ago, Neil, they had 7 players that were healthy. And you legally have to have 8.
Yeah.
So they had to get a waiver exception and sign Matthew Hurt and play him, which ironically his last name is Matthew Hurt. This absolutely just hilariously
fits. Pretty good.
Hurt. The whole team's hurt. It's just been a rotating infirmary. Desmond Bane's not even going to be. Brandon Clark's been out a year and a half now. He's probably going to be back after the All-Star break. We'll see where he fits in the equation. I think he'll fit well. He's extremely talented, and it's just one of those situations where this has kind of been. You want to call it a lost season, but then Memphis doesn't even have the worst record in the NBA. They've won 6 of their last 11 games. They've been above 500, surprisingly.
That to me, that speaks a lot about a coaching staff when you can get that out of your team and the character of your team.
Yeah.
Those two things.
You've got basically, Drew Hill and DeMichael Cole, both reporters in Memphis have made it abundantly clear. Basically what's happening is you have guys that are essentially trying out for roster spots. Yeah.
That helps too.
I mean, you're wanting to get paid,
yeah,
and you're wanting to play for the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, if you're playing well, you got a chance to be with this team and what it's supposed to be next year. I know there were plans for this year, especially with Ja coming back and Desmond Bain and Triple J having great off seasons. But man, I mean, it's hard not to watch them. It's been fun to watch because you're watching them develop in front of your eyes, including my new favorite Grizzly, Vince Williams from VCU. Man can absolutely play basketball and defends. I know everybody thinks there's no defense in the NBA. That is not accurate, and Vince Williams will tell you why. The other thing I wanted to say, I was talking about this very loosely. Cameron Payne Playing well for Milwaukee. He's got limited minutes right now, and of course a huge coaching change there, where they fired Adrian and have hired Doc Rivers. And so Cam has had front row seats to that, fired a coach who's second in the NBA and wins, but there was, they were losing confidence in the defense, and you know, Giannis and Dame are only got a few more, I mean, only have so many years of window of opportunity. But there's a lot of rumor going around right now in NBA circles that Cam is going to be part of a big trade package along with Pat Connaughton in order for them to shore up their depth on the bench, particularly at not just point guard, really, because they've got guards, but they would just definitely shore up their wing play, which you need in the NBA. I mean, you need all of it, but wing play is extremely pivotal. So, I mean, if Cam gets traded to a contender, that's cool. If not, and he sticks around, I think that's great too. He's in a good, he's in a win-win situation. He's either going to get traded to a contender, you know, for wing depth, or he's going to stay with Milwaukee, and they're going to win 60 games this year. So, I mean, either way, I don't necessarily think that is a bad situation. Did you see where Isaiah scored 31 points the other day for Olympiacos?
I did not.
He hit 9 three-pointers, Neil. Isaiah Cannon.
That doesn't surprise me. For Olympiacos. I've seen him do stuff like that.
All of his points, but let's see, 9 times 3 is 27. He scored 31. All but 4 of his points. I forget who they were playing, actually, which Olympiacos plays in one of the toughest leagues in Europe. They're annually one of the best teams, really, in any depth of European basketball.
I'll take your word for that.
Well, spoiler, they are.
Okay.
It was a sight to watch, Neil. I totally suggest you go watch.
You watched the game?
No, I watched the highlights.
You know, okay.
Yeah, I didn't watch. No.
They play. Have time.
They play
to
like
watch
in a different time zone. No, I watched the highlights of the game, and it was remarkable because Cannon hit from everywhere. With hands in the face.
How come that stuff's not on the crawl? When I have Bundesliga 1 and Bundesliga 2 and La Liga this and La Liga that,
where's
how come
Olympia,
that's not on
where's
there?
Olympia coach
I don't
basketball.
Know any of those. Yeah, that's right.
Let me suggest
roll that on the crawl.
How amazing would it be if you could customize your own crawl?
Oh, I've said that a million years. Yes. Yeah. Actually, ESPN, they don't do it anymore, but they were, you know, trying to be nice and give things to radio station clients, and we were ESPN radio, and we could customize our crawl, what we rolled across it. We'd just click the sports, and it would say, I want headlines, baseball, and it was really cool. And I've always wondered why they didn't have that option for TV.
So here's what's crazy.
But they need to.
My ESPN desktop and my ESPN app on my phone have all of my favorites. I have that. I have players favorited. Yeah. I have teams favorited. I have leagues favorited. So that way I can see everything scroll on my scores page. But an actual crawl on television, I'm just thinking of this like as we're talking about it. Like,
and see, that might be hard to do. But this shouldn't be hard.
The programming.
This shouldn't be hard to do here.
What?
This is ESPN Plus.
Okay, yeah.
This is my account.
It is.
They know what I watch. Mm-hmm. What comes up first? Hockey.
You don't give a ding.
I don't watch hockey. I don't care. What does it have next? Golf. Don't watch it. Why can't I customize that and just have the stuff I want up? I want the Missouri Valley.
Uh-huh.
Maybe, you know, football, SEC, Big Ten. But no, there's that. Here's some guy playing soccer. Don't care. Something about all-star skills. Don't know what that is. Then they're selling their 30 by 30s, and then I have to go all the way down 3 more columns to get what I want. I don't understand why ESPN, who's fantastic at what they do in terms of bringing you sports, can't fix that.
Neil, I'm going to forward your complaints to HR.
To HR.
Neil, it's been real. It's been fun, and it's been real fun. I will see you after the big game, and I will see you after Groundhog's Day.
All right. Can't wait.
Thanks.